Blessed be your name. Blessed be the one.
Blessed be the one.
Be the one
who reigns forever.
Who reigns forevermore.
Blessed be your name.
Aya. Two more times. I say, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Oh,
blessed be the one.
Blessed be the one.
Be the one who
reigns.
The one who reigns. Who reigns forevermore.
Blessed be your name.
Let me hear the church now. I say, blessed be your name. Blessed be. Blessed be your name, blessed be your name. I'm blessed with the one, sing blessed be the one who reigns forevermore. Blessed be your name. Oh. One more time. Say, blessed be your name, blessed. Be your name, oh. Blessed be your name, blessed. Blessed be your name, oh. I'm blessed be the one, blessed. Blessed be the one who reigns forevermore. Blessed be your name. We honor you this evening, Father. Indeed, blessed be your name. Thanks for how you've been awesome and have you blessed us through this number of days. We're grateful to you. Today is another day. We are open to everything you have to do. Thank you for your already blessing us in this service so far. I ask that this moment becomes a life-changing moment for someone here. And for all of us here, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Do you want to shout a loud amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Be seated. Amen. Okay. We're coming to an end. Gradually, right? And it's been nothing short of beautiful. Nothing short of beautiful. It's been amazing. Amen. I said, amen. Where did your voice go to today? I said, amen.
Amen.
Can this mic sound better? Amen. So, it's still oikos. It's still oikos we are teaching on. It's still oikos, the house of God. But today, it's a special school of ministry, right? So, I'm going to say a few things. And I'll be teaching on a general topic from today, tomorrow, on ministering in God's house. Ministering in God's house. Ministering in God's house. Glory to God. Now, one of the major things you find in the house of God, whether from the old, remember how we started this teaching? We came from the Old Testament, right? We came from the temple of Moses, tabernacle of Moses and all of that. One of the major things you find looking at all those tabernacles, all those temples and what have you, is that there were ministers that were assigned, you see, to work in those places. There were ministers that are assigned to work in those places. And this is beautiful because even by the time we go to the New Testament, and you look at the church, there were still ministers assigned to work in the church. In other words, and these ministers, I want to say, are not angels. They are not angels. They have never been angels. They are human beings. And we're going to look at who are these ministers that can work in the house of God. What makes them? What are the qualifications? What is God looking for? So if you're a worker here, this will bless you. If you are going to be a worker someday in the church,
This is going to bless you. If you're going to be someone that will walk around the church, this will be a big blessing to you. Amen. Because it's a big deal to talk about ministering in the house of God. How this happens, who qualifies for this, and how do we go about this. The first thing and the important thing we're going to just talk about today is to let you see that the people that ministered in the temple and tabernacle of Moses, temple of Solomon, the tabernacle of David, all of them, we are all from the tribe of Levi. Please write that and not forget it. They were priests and Levites. So it was the priests and the Levites that ministered in the house of God. Very important. And maybe I should just give you a little history. You know, why, have you ever asked yourself, why is it the tribe of Levi that God chose as people that minister in his tabernacle, on his temple, in the Old Testament? I can give you a very simple reason. Something happened in Exodus chapter 32, to open your Bible. This is not my teaching yet, I just want to show you that. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 25. Exodus 32, and verse 25. Are we there now? I'll wait for you a little. Are we there now? And when Moses saw that the people were naked, because Moses came down from the mountain and saw that they had made a golden calf, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him, and he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the son of Levi did according to the word of the Lord, okay, and the word of Moses rather, and there fell of the people that day 3,000 men. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourself today to the Lord, and every man be upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." So they were worshiping idols. They made the golden calf. Moses got down and was like, "Okay, if you're on the Lord's side, come." And the tribe of Levi came, and he told them to go in and slaughter the people, you know. And then they did that. And that particular act, it will shock you to know that that was actually why one major reason why for generations to come, they stood out before the Lord. Are you still here? In Numbers chapter 3, let me just show you something. Numbers chapter 3, I first read verse 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "And I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that opened the matrix among children of Israel." So God used the Levites to replace the firstborns. Because originally I said the firstborns were special to him. But now he's using the Levites to replace them. "Because all the firstborn are mine. For on the day that I smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be, for I am the Lord." Go to verse 41. It says, "And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of and the call of the Levites instead of all the firstlings." So he's saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn. So you use them to replace the firstborn. Are you still here? Are you here? So, and that was the reason why that happened, because they did that particular service, you know. And all the limit, that's the verse I'm actually looking for exactly. Glory to God. Okay. Glory to God. We'll find that for the end of this teaching. But as a verse that actually made it very clear that the reason why they were chosen was because they had stood with the Lord on the Lord's side on that day. You know, because they stood with the Lord on the Lord's side on that day, they became very special. Okay? Became very special unto the Lord. You know why I had to add this to what I'm trying to teach you is this. One of the things you must have noticed with God is that ministry is generational. I don't know why I have to start with that today. Ministry is generational. What that simply means is that there is a way a man of God can conduct himself in the ministry, and because of what he has done, the lot and the assignment of God will even fall upon his children. So you that is serving the Lord today, one of the things you should believe the Lord for is that your children will also follow in that same footstep. It doesn't mean that if you're a pastor, they must be pastors. It doesn't mean that if you're an apostle, they must be apostles. But it means that just because you are walking in the footsteps of, we are serving God and doing ministry, now your children will have a role to play in that. Because of that action that Levi, or the children of Levi carried out many years ago, you know, it became special. You see, it became special. They became special to the Lord. You know, a special bride, a special tribe unto the Lord. And that's why it's good to say to someone, how you live your life actually matter. I get what I'm saying? How you live your life actually matter. Glory to God. In fact, I've seen the script I'm looking for. That's, my mind has been running up and down. Go back to that Exodus. Because I have to show you. I really want to show you this. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. It's actually there. Just that we skipped. We didn't get there in our reading. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. So let's start reading from verse 28. Let's read like a mass choir. I'll wait for you. Have you found it? Let's go now. I'll wait for you again. That's not all of us. I need to find it in your Bible. It's not coming on the screen, so you find it. Amen. Are you ready now? Let's go together. Put up that verse 29 with other translations. Amen. I said amen. Look at NLT. Moses told the Levites, today you have ordained yourself for the service of the Lord. For you obeyed him even though it meant killing your own sons. So this was actually the action that made the Lord say, okay, you've ordained yourself. So from generation to generation, they became set apart unto the service of the Lord. Give me another translation of this. Because it's actually important I start with this today. And I didn't plan to talk about it. While I was walking in, the Lord just said, show this before you start. So Moses said to the Levites, by your obedience to God's command, you've consecrated yourself today as priests to the Lord. I get what I'm saying. It was this action that made the Lord say, okay, so when you hear us say, if you must serve in the temple, you must be a Levite, it was because of this. And I want to say it again, maybe more emphatically now, but the pattern of your life today really counts, not only now, even for your kids that will come. I get what I'm saying. For your kids that will come. Because all their generation inherited ministry. Because there was a need to obey the Lord. So I want to digress to say, that's why I don't be afraid, I'll be angry. When you say, oh, that's a pastor, and he handed over to you, so he's not a pastor. That's the order of God. Any pastor that does his job well, his kids will follow suit in ministry. And you too, if you will do your job well, your children will follow in ministry. Now, they may not be pastors, they may not be whatever you became. There might even be more. Are you what I'm saying? There might be more. Because it is how God runs his home. So the Levites became special, a special breed, a special tribe unto the Lord because their fathers many years ago stood and obeyed the Lord even when it wasn't convenient. And the Lord said, because of that, throughout your generation, you guys will be a special breed unto the Lord. I get what I'm saying. And it's important we start with that, but then back to our story. Everyone that ever ministered in God's house, you must be a Levite. You must be a Levite. If you are going to be a priest in God's house, you must be a Levite. But not only being a priest. If you are going to be anything in God's house, I've heard some singers say, well, I'm a Levite. Why? Because I'm in the choir. Well, you are correct. Just that is half truth. Because the full truth is everybody that will ever serve in the temple, you must be a Levite. I get the point. Children, church teacher, sweeper, toilet cleaner, traffic control team. Because the church, one of these, you know, there are many things we do in church today. And we don't take those things very seriously. I'm just an usher. I'm just controlling traffic. I'm just security. I'm just this. I'm just that. That's not how it was in the temple. The temple order was that everybody that will ever do anything in the house must come from that tribe of Levi. Now, when they now get into the tribe of Levi, they will now have different responsibilities. So there was no responsibility in the temple of God that was not handled by a Levite. And if you don't know what that simply means, Levites are priests. All Levites are priests. Just that we differentiate priests and Levites because they had different responsibilities. The people we call priests are the ones who had the assignment to offer sacrifices. While the other people were now called Levites were those that were not allowed to offer sacrifices. Among them, there is also high priests, still among the Levites. You get the point? So all of them were priests. We are saying anyone that ever served in the temple of God, they were all priests. Just priests at different levels and different categories. So it takes being a Levite to serve in God's house. And I'll show you some examples. In 1 Chronicles chapter 24. 1 Chronicles 24 and verse 1. We're going to have a lot of scriptures to read, but I wanted to see what I'm going to show you. Are you there now? Are you there? Open your Bible before you write anything. That's the instruction. When you hear a Bible verse mentioned, open your Bible. So that when the preacher is reading, you can read along with him. Okay, the reason you carry your Bible is so that you can read the Bible. Not so that the Bible can be read to you. So when they mention a Bible verse, open it so that you can read along. So that you can even understand before you start writing. Are we there now? Now, these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. So Aaron had four sons. What are their names? Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father. You remember? They had no children. They died before the Lord because they offered strange fire. Remember that? Okay, therefore Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed them both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than of the sons of Ithamar. And thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar, there were 16 chief men. In fact, give me NLT. Because NLT is very clear with this. Give me NLT from verse 3. New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Now, verse 3. With the help of Zadok, who was a descendant of Eleazar, these are the children of Levites, all of them, and of Ahimelech, who was a descendant of Ithamar, David divided Aaron's descendants into groups according to their various duties. Eleazar's descendants were divided into 16 groups, and Ithamar's into 8. For there were more family leaders among the descendants of Eleazar. All tasks were assigned to the various groups by means of the sacred lots, so that no preference would be shown. For there were many qualified officials serving God in the sanctuary from among the descendants of both Eleazar and Ithamar. Shemaiah, the son of Nathanael, a Levite, acted as a secretary and wrote out the names and assignments in the presence of the king, the officials, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, and the family leaders of the priests and Levites. The descendants of Eleazar and Ithamar took turns casting lots. So we see the first guys. There was a guy in verse 5 called the secretary. He was also a Levite. Every name you see here, all of these guys are Levites. So we see that in my note I said it was the Levites that took charge of the leadership in the house of God. They were called the chief men. The chief men. Give me verse 5. Just the last verse, verse 5. All tasks were assigned. Okay, verse 4. Glory to God. Verse 4. And the descendants were divided into 16 groups and the Thomas into 8, but there were more family leaders. So they picked leaders from this particular guys. They picked leaders that were serving the house of God. Go to verse 19. Verse 19. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel commanded them. He said each group carried out its appointed duties in the house of the Lord according to the procedures established by their ancestor Aaron in obedience to the commands of the God of Israel. So they picked people from the children of Israel, Aaron, all of them were Levites, and they were made to lead the house of God. They were made, if you go from verse 6 down, You see different names. You see Shema. You see many names. All of them appointed to serve as priests in the house of God. Many, many names. You see Jehoriab. You see Jediah. You see Harim. You see Shiorim. You see all those names. All were names of priests, okay, that were picked from the tribe of Levi to serve. But you see, it wasn't only these priests that were picked. If you go to the next chapter, chapter 25, from verse 1, the Bible said, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, with cymbals. Who are these ones now? Musicians. Are you here? So, from the tribe of Levi in chapter 24, David picked chief men, family leaders, who will lead in the temple. Priests, you can call them. In chapter 25, he's now picking musicians. NLT said, David and the army commanders appointed men from the families of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun to proclaim God's message to the accompaniment of lyres, harps, and cymbals. Here is a list of their names. From the sons of Asaph were Zachor, so they kept giving us their names, Verse 6, he said, all these men were under the direction of their fathers as they made music at the house of the Lord. Their responsibilities included the playing of cymbals, harps, lyres in the house of the Lord. So you see, even people that were to make music, that were to play instruments, we are all picked from the tribe of Levi. I follow you to this point. So I've shown you the leaders in chapter 24 of the house. We are picked from the tribe of Levi. Now the musicians, we are also picked from the tribe of Levi. Are you still here? The musicians, we are picked from the tribe of Levi. And, you know, I'm still okay. Verse 7. They say, they and their families were all trained in making music before the Lord. Each of them, 288 in all, was an accomplished musician. The musicians were appointed to their term of service by means of sacred laws, without regard to whether they were young or old, teacher or student. So you notice the people that served in the choir in the house of God were Levites. I'm trying to show you something. Chapter 24 is very clear that the Levites served as priests. Nobody should doubt that. But then we are seeing that the Levites also served as musicians. Not only musicians, they also served as instrumentalists. This is why you always teach that instrumentalists in the church should not be anybody who can play. You must be a Levite, and I'll tell you what that means. You must be a minister, that's what I'm saying, before you can even play instrument in the house of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Even to play keyboard. Which is why I have never, and I will never subscribe to a church hiring instrumentalists. I don't subscribe to that. Are you still here? I don't. Except that there are people you already know. You get it? But people you already know that, you know, these ones are spiritual, they are believers, they are ministers and what have you. You can call them to come and play for you. But just bring anybody from anywhere who can play. He can come from a beer parlor, he can just get high on something and they come and he's playing. No. Because musicians in church should be Levites. Are you still here? But not only them. Because I've seen musicians claim this name, Levites. Say, we are Levites. Have you seen that kind of thing? Yeah, but it's not only musicians that were Levites. In chapter 26, verse 1, concerning the divisions of the porters. Who are these ones now? Porters. Who are porters? NLT said, these are the divisions of the gatekeepers. So even the gatekeepers were picked from the tribe of Levi. Do you understand what I'm saying now? People that opened and closed door. Put them in any category. Call them ushers. Call them anything you want to call them. Call them security. But they were still Levites. So an usher is right to refer to himself as a Levite. So you see their names, Kohat, from the Kohathites, there we are, Mesher, Lemai. You can look at this verse 2, and maybe name one of your children, Mesher, Lemai. Glory to God. Amen. Then, okay, Jediel, Zebadiah, and Jatniel. Is that okay? Then verse 3, Elam. just like Ella. You now put M. But these were all the names of people. But key thing is, they were all Levites. So even to open and close door, to do security in the house of God, David never allowed just anybody to do it. He made sure you must be a Levite to even do security in God's house. It's awful I'm talking about here. So I've shown you musicians. I've shown you the leadership. I've shown you gatekeepers. Go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. And of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and over the treasures of the dedicated things. So we can call these ones storekeepers, if you want. Okay? Storekeepers, people that took care of the dedicated things in the house of God. Are you still here? You know, NLT said, other Levites led by Ahijah, we are in charge of the treasuries of the house of God and the treasuries of the gifts dedicated to the Lord. So, all pastors say this, take charge of the instruments. Take charge of the things people are bringing to church. Take charge of the seats. Make sure they're in proper order. These ones, that's their job. But they were still Levites. It's one thing I'm talking about. So it's not only people that sing that say, we are Levites. No. It's not only people that preach that say, we are Levites. Even people that were to take charge of the treasuries. It is, let me say Amplified Classic of that verse. Amplified Classic. Amen. All of the Levites, Ahijah was over the treasures of the house of God and the treasures of the dedicated gifts. So, gifts that were brought to the house, give me a message. Gifts that were brought to the house of God, that appointed, this one said they were put in charge of the financial affairs of the temple of God. So people bring gifts and all of that, they were told to take charge of it. That's also a Levitical office. It's what I'm talking about. So I've shown you gate man, Levitical office. Now, storekeeper, whatever you call it, Levitical office. So it's not only musicians that can say, we are Levites. No. If you are asked that every day, make sure you come and pack speakers and make sure nothing goes wrong with the speakers, that's a Levitical responsibility. Because in the temple of Solomon, temple of David, nobody could try that. Nobody could try that if you're not a Levite. I get the point. Nobody could. Hallelujah. And God is not sentimental. That's what Uzzah didn't find out. Uzzah wanted to help God carry the ark. Boom, he died. Because if you're not a Levite, you shouldn't be touching the ark. Are you following what I'm talking about here? You shouldn't. You know, we read about the fact that Obed-Edom, the ark prospered him, right? But Obed-Edom was a Levite. That's why that ark could stay in his house. If not, if they keep that ark, then himself will follow. Because you cannot do anything as per service in the house of the Lord in the Old Testament if you're not a Levite. It's awful I'm talking about this evening. You cannot. It's not about sentiments. You cannot. So I've shown you the storekeepers. Let's go to verse 29. And of Isharites, that's the people from Asia. So the Isharites, or Isharites, whichever one. Jeniah and his sons, we are for the outward business over Israel, for officers and judges. So there were people that were appointed of the Levites who we are given some sort of administrative responsibilities, who will go outside to judge people, settle disputes. Give me NLT of this verse. NLT. He said, from the clan of Isha came Kenaniah. He and his sons were given administrative responsibility over Israel as officials and judges. These ones you are not to walk in the temple. Go down. Go to see the next verse. From the clan of Hebron came Hashabiah, he and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, we are put in charge of the Israelites' lands west of the Jordan River. They were responsible for all matters related to the things of the Lord. So these ones you are sending disputes among the people. Go to verse 29. Give me a message. Disputes among the people, just serving. He said, from the clan of Izar. That's NIT. Give me a message. From the family of Izarites, Kenaniah, and sons, you appointed officials and judges responsible for affairs outside the work of worship and sanctuary. So there were other assignments that they had to do outside the temple. Settling disputes, judging the people. But all of that was still a Levitical responsibility. So we are sending you to go and, in fact, to even go and purchase something for us as a church. That's a Levitical affair. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything that you cannot serve in God's house, to do anything for Him, if you don't stand as a Levite before Him, you cannot. In the Old Testament, you attempt it, you will die. You can be a king. Don't try that. If you try to touch anything, you will just go. And why I'm showing you this is actually to see that there is actually no responsibility in the house of God that is actually small. Because the same qualification is what all of them need. No responsibility. So the person singing in the choir is no bigger than the person ushering. Because all of them are Levites. So why is she singing and I'm ushering? It's just division of labor. So they casted lots. This family, I take this. This family, take that. That family, take that. They shared it from their family. But you must be a Levite to stand there. So that's why, again, you must count it a privilege and respect whatever responsibility you are given to do in the house of God. Whatever. Because I've seen people try to say, I've said it many times now, if you're a singer, say, singers are Levites to the Lord. Well, not only them. Singers are Levites to the Lord. Ushers are Levites unto the Lord. The toilet cleaner is a Levite unto the Lord. The person outside controlling traffic, telling the buses, the cars coming to church how to park, are Levites unto the Lord. Is someone following what I'm talking about? The person that is decorating the church is a Levite unto the Lord. It's a Levitical responsibility. If they are not, they cannot even serve at all. They shouldn't. Get the point? That's why it's crazy when in some churches, they even appoint people that you are not so sure of their salvation to do things in the church. You're not even sure whether they're saved or not. They're not sure whether they're saved or not. So someone is just playing instrument in church because the person can play. No, sir. That's wrong. I get the point. Someone is cleaning church because he likes cleaning. That's still wrong. Again, what this means is we must not see any job we are given in church as small. No. Because God never thought, by the time I take you through the study, you'll see that all of these offices, whether as gatekeeper, as instrumentalist, as musician, they all went through the same purification process in the Old Testament before they do any of them. Same. I get what I'm saying. The same thing the musician will do before he begins to sing is the same thing the gatekeeper will do because he begins to keep the gates. Because they worked in tongues. They took turns. They had a timetable, a roster kind of. So before it's your turn, there are some purifications you must go through before you go and stand there. So whether you're a musician or anything, you must do the same thing. So nothing is actually small. And that's why I say to you today in this school of ministry that whatever you are asked to do before the Lord stands before Him as ministry. It doesn't have to be big in your eyes or big in anybody's eyes. The important thing is that you are doing this unto the Lord. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Same responsibility. I mean, same process. Different responsibility is quite alright. But same process of preparation. Same process. Same family. Same tribe. You must be a Levite. You must. So, in my notes, I said, whatever duty you are assigned in church is and must be treated as a Levitical assignment. You are asked to snap picture. Levitical. So, but we didn't see camera in this particular verse because there was no camera then. If the house of God ever needed a camera person in the Bible days, they will not still pick someone outside the tribe of Levi. They won't. Are you still here?
They won't.
And what it also means is that you must be prepared, because I want to talk about preparation for the house of God. You must be prepared to walk in God's house. And this is what I mean by preparation. Because I'm going to take you through the purification of the Levites very shortly now. Because they were purified before they stood to walk. At every time. But observe something. The preparation or the purification did not make them Levites. Right? They were Levites already. But then they have to purify themselves to stand there. So if you are from the tribe of Judah and you go purify yourself like the Levites, you will still not be qualified to stand and serve. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't the purification, because we're going to see the preparation. You know, if you want to be in the house of God, if you want to be a Levite, if you want to be a minister, a proper minister, look at what you have to do and all of that. But you must know what it is not. It was never all those purifications that will qualify them to become Levites. They were already Levites by birth. So you will never see any teaching done by Moses or by David titled How to Be a Levite. I get what I'm saying. You become a Levite by birth. But you will see a teaching done by Moses titled How to Prepare Yourself as a Levite Before You Go to Serve in the House of God. I get what I'm talking about. So the whole purification is actually preparing yourself to serve, not qualifying you to serve. Being a Levite is what qualifies you. That's the same thing in the New Testament. Being a believer makes you a minister. So a believer should not be taught as per how to be a minister. No, there's nothing like that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 that he has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers. Able ministers. Put it up. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6. Who has also made us able ministers. So we all are ministers of the New Testament. Say amen. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away, all things have become new. Verse 18. Okay, verse 18. All things of God who has reconciled us to himself and has done what? Giving us the ministry of reconciliation. So we all have the ministry of reconciliation. I'm saying this to say that all believers are ministers. So this is not actually a teaching on how to be a minister. Do you get the point? Because how do you become a Levite in the Old Testament? By birth. Once you are born into that tribe, you're a Levite. How do you become a minister in the New Testament? How? By salvation. New birth. Do you get the point now? That's why the Bible calls all of us, we are all, he said he has made us priests unto our God, all of us. So, we don't need to teach as per, I heard teachings like, how to be a priest unto God. Well, there's nothing like that. If you're a believer, you're a priest unto God. That's what the Bible tells us. Right? Revelation 1. I think that's verse 6. Revelation 1 verse 6. And had made us kings and priests unto God. He didn't say he will make us. He has made us. Say amen, somebody. So we are priests. So when we talk about preparation, getting set for the work of God, it's not actually how to make you a minister. It's actually how to prepare you to stand and serve in that office. Now, let me rephrase. Don't hear what I didn't say. I did not say that all believers are pastors. Neither did I say all believers are apostles. I said all believers are ministers. Just like you cannot say all Levites are priests. Or all Levites are musicians. I know what I'm talking about. But all Levites are Levites and you serve in the temple. Now, in that Levitical order, there is now musician, gatekeeper, this, but all of them are Levites. So all believers are ministers. That does not mean that all believers are apostles. That doesn't mean all believers are pastors. But all believers are ministers. So when we're talking about preparation for the work of God and all of that, it's not actually how to make yourself a minister or how to make yourself a Levite. It is much more in context how to prepare yourself to be able to serve. So once you are born into the tribe of Levi, you're already a Levite. Once you are born again, you're already a minister. Is it clear to all of us now? Once you are born again, God has chosen you. So there's nothing like how to make God choose you as his own. No. Just like the Levites in the Old Testament with Moses did what they did and all their children became implicated. Jesus had paid the price for us. All of us are implicated by what he has done. We are all ministers today. Say amen. But we now have to learn how to purify, because if you now read the testimony, you begin to see purification of the Levites. They must wash themselves. They must purify themselves. They must wash their garments. That's not how to become a Levite. That is how to serve effectively as a Levite. So, before I proceed, it's good you begin to see yourself as a minister. You know, I say this all the time in this church. Every believer is a minister, and you're really tired of hearing it. I want to say it again. You are a minister. The day you accept it will not be the day you become a minister. It will be the day you accepted it. So the earlier you accept it, the better for all of us. Say amen. The earlier, you don't know, I don't like, that's what I don't like. Every time I come to this church, they must tell me I'm a minister. Well, that's actually what I want you to know. He has given us the ministry. Every believer, I said it yesterday or 2 days ago, let me say it again. Every believer has at least three ministries he must carry out. Number one is he must minister unto God. That talks about his personal relationship with God, prayer and all of that. Number two, he must minister to sinners. That's called the ministry of reconciliation. Number three, he must minister to the saints. That is now his work in the house of God. Every believer. You get the point? Now, all that ministering to the saints, we can now say, I'm called to be a pastor. I want to be in the, I'm in the choir. I'm an usher. I'm a this. I'm a jumper. And all of those things. But you must be doing these three things at least. At least. Say you know do at all. These three things must be there. Say amen. You must have a ministry to the Lord. So that's prayer. Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, so those guys gathered to minister to the Lord. That's something every believer should do. They minister to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 tells us that we have received the ministry of reconciliation. That's something every believer should do. 3 The Bible tells us of the household of Stephanas in, I think that's 1 Corinthians 16, how they addicted themselves to the service of the saints. That's something every believer should do. We must serve the saints. Now, under serving the saints, what I'm doing now as I'm preaching, I'm serving you. It's ministry. What the ushers are doing now, they're serving you. That's ministry. Are you getting what I'm talking about? What the choir just did a few minutes ago, they served you. That's ministry. What you do in cleaning the church, you served us. So every believer must do at least these three things I just told you. Except you're not ready. So every believer is a minister, basically. By the time you now begin to say, oh, I'm an apostle, I'm called to be a prophet, that one is now God giving you special assignments in the service of the saints. Do you get the point? Who is an apostle? Someone sent to go and plant churches and to handle them and all of that. Who is a pastor? Someone called to shepherd the people of God. Who is a chorister? Someone called to sing in church. It's the same thing. Just that those five offices are now fivefold ministries. They are the governing offices. Offices, of course, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist. Are you what I'm talking about? So every believer is a minister. Say, I'm a minister. Are you excited? It should actually excite you. Because if it was in the Old Testament, you wouldn't even near ministry because you're not even a Levite. But it's such a beautiful thing that God has given all of us this wonderful privilege of serving in his house. We must now learn how to effectively serve in his house and not how to reject it. But many of us, all we are doing, we are rejecting ministry. I'm not ready for all this ministry thing, though. I mean, I just want to become coming to church and going home. That's not God's plan for you. A Levite cannot say, I'll just come to the temple and go home. Did you observe that 2 Chronicles that we read? So 1 Chronicles, all the families of the Levites, every one of them was assigned something. Go look at that again. All of them. Something was assigned to them. All. You can refuse to do your own, but your name is there. And I want to say to you, you can refuse to do ministry, but whether your name is in God's book as a minister, your name is there. It is you that is refusing to do it. And you know the thing about God? Refusing to do ministry will not make you remove your name. He has written it there. You're a minister. Say it. Say it again. Say it. Glory to God. You're a minister of the gospel. And it's such a, like, it's even a privilege. I get the point. If you go to Israel those days, the Levites are treated as a special breed. Because of all the people in Israel, God handpicked them. That special privilege they had is what we all have as saints in Christ Jesus now. Are you following what I'm saying now? So you must begin to see yourself like that. So, back to what I was saying. So that is now the preparation for the Levites. That those preparation is not actually to make them become Levites. It's actually how they will function well as Levites. Because being chosen as a Levite is not up to you. It's about your birth. Are you feel what I'm saying? So once you are born like that, God has picked you, handpicked you as it were, as a Levite, and then you now begin yourself. Amen. So preparation makes you function well. So we're going to just look at something today. Leviticus 8 and verse 14. Leviticus 8 and verse 14. Glory to God. I don't need that on the screen. Put it up. Open your Bible. Leviticus 8 verse 14. I'll wait for you. Amen. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering. And he slew it. And Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar, round about with his finger, and purified the altar. And poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. And he took all the fat that was upon the inwards and the cowl above the calf, above the liver, and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burnt it upon the altar. But the bullock and his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now see from verse 18. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head. So all of this is how he prepared the Levites. Verse 22. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands. Glory to God. Laid their hands upon it. So I just took you to how, okay, he prepared the Levites to serve in the house of God. How he purified them and all of that. Praise God. Okay. Give me an NLT of what I just read now. Ooh, glory to God. Let's read together if you find it. Give me Living Translation. Hallelujah. Let's read together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why are we reading that as if we want to sleep? Read it again with much more. Let's start again. Start from there. Okay. Just as the Lord had commanded. Verse 22. Then Moses presented the other ram. So, you see, this is, do you like this story? Do you understand it? Is it even exciting? Is it interesting at all? Okay. But that's what they're just reading to you is the work of the priests. Now, this is not the work of the entire Levites. It's the priests that will do and carry out all of this. But I skipped in my note. I'm coming to this particular thing tomorrow. So let's go to Numbers 8, actually. Numbers 8, verse 14. Now, give me an NLT of that. Please pay attention now. In this way, because I was talking about the provision of Levites, in this way, you will set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel, and the Levites will belong to me. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. So, the first thing God does in preparing his Levites, whether priests that we just read about a few minutes ago, the first thing he does is that he sets them apart. So the first thing God is going to do, now remember again, this is not the first thing God is going to do to make you a Levite. Do you remember that? That's not what God is going to do to make you a minister. It is the first thing he's going to do to prepare you. So he said, in this way you will set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel, and the Levites will belong to me. Continue. And after this day, they may go into the tabernacle to do their work, because you purified them and presented them as a special offering. Of all the people of Israel, the Levites are reserved for me. I have claimed them for myself in place of all the firstborn sons of the Israelites. I have taken the Levites as their substitutes. For all the firstborn males among the people of Israel are mine, both of people and of animals. I've set them apart for myself on the day I struck down all the firstborns of the Egyptians. Okay? Yes, I've claimed the Levites in place of all the firstborns of sons of Israel. Verse 19. And of all the Israelites, I've assigned the Levites to Aaron and his sons. I'm coming to all of this. This is going to be very exciting. They will serve in tabernacle and on behalf of the Israelites to make sacrifices, to purify the people, so no plague will strike them when they approach the sanctuary. Verse 20. So Moses and Aaron and the whole community of Israel gathered the Levites carefully, following all the Lord's instructions to Moses. Now in verse 21, it says, the Levites purified themselves from sin and washed their clothes, and Aaron lifted them up and presented them to the Lord as a special offering. He then offered a sacrifice to purify them and make them right with God. After that, the Levites went into the tabernacle to perform their duties, assisting Aaron and his sons. So they carried out all the commands of the Lord that the Lord gave Moses concerning the Levites. The first thing is that God separates you. And notice the first thing God told them in verse 14. He told them, you've been separated from the rest of the people. He said, you must separate the Levites from the rest of the Israelites. The first thing you must note, as someone that walks in the house of God, as a Levite, if you must use that term, is that you are separated from the rest of the people. You are separated from the rest of the people. In this way, you set the Levites apart from the rest of the people of Israel. Everybody that will serve in the house of God must carry this mindset and this knowledge that he is not the same with every other person in the church or every other person in the world and even in the church. What I mean is, someone who has given himself to serve in the church, of course, we are all Levites, but not everybody will accept that responsibility. Everyone that has accepted that responsibility to serve as a minister in God's house must be able to know that he is not the same with everybody in the world and with everybody in the church. Are you what I'm talking about? We are not the same. You notice in Message Bible of this verse. Message said, this is the procedure for setting apart the Levites from the rest of the people of Israel. The Levites are exclusively for my use. So you must see yourself as, I am not the same. If you do not separate yourself from the rest of the people in the church, or the rest of the people, start from the world, in the world, you cannot be an effective Levite unto the Lord. What I mean is, a Levite does not freely and carelessly mingle with everybody in the world as the same. So he said, you must set them apart from the rest of the people. You must set them apart from the rest of the people. You must set them apart from the rest of the people. Because they are not the same with every other person. Are you still here? Are you getting what I'm saying? Amplified Classic said, "Thus you shall separate the Levites from among the Israelites, and the Levites shall be mine in a very special sense." So you must first of all note that you are separated from the rest of the people. This would imply that you must live differently from others. This would imply that how you carry your life must be different from how others carry their own lives. This will imply that how you think must be different from how others think. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. It says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." He said, "For what relationship has the temple of God and Belial?" In other words, you cannot be a child of God. You cannot be a minister. You cannot be a Levite that lives the same way that every other person lives. If you go to verse 18, 19 of this, he said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." Go to verse 17. "Come out from among them and be ye separate unto the Lord. Touch no unclean thing." So when I see believers or ministers who sing in the choir, who usher in God's house, who, what are all these things? Who do traffic control? Who do all of this? And they're living their lives. There is no difference between them and people in their class. There's no difference between them and people in their office. There's no difference between them and people in their workplace. That one has not been trained as a Levite. And let me tell you, he's not actually, if he continues like that, he will not get to the best of his potential as a minister of God. So, the Levite is not expected to be seen everywhere other Israelites are seen. Oh, there is a party going on there. A Levite is not supposed to be there. If someone gets what I'm talking about, friends, they are not expected. They don't even go to war. They don't even go to farm. Is that serious? They don't go to farm. Because they are not supposed to be the same with other people. Now, we can't say you should not work or should not go to farm now. But we can say that there are things others indulge in that you cannot get yourself involved with. Why? Because you are a special breed unto the Lord. You see what I'm talking about here now? Because all those things you are reading in Leviticus, if I brought you here now, how the priests will do this, how they will bring the ram, how they will slaughter the goats, how they will put their hands. You see all those things you are reading. If you are not prepared, as I'm showing you now, and you go and attempt that, you will be struck dead. So he told them, the first thing, you must separate yourself from the rest of the people. I get what I'm saying? So the first thing it implies, I'm showing you, is that you must live differently from others. You must talk differently from others. You must think differently from others. You must dress differently. So workers, ministers, leaders in God's house, and intending workers and all of that in God's house, ministers in God's house, if you dress in a certain way, we should be able to ask you questions. Why? You are a Levite. You must be different from others. You know, sometimes I hear some very serious things. Of course, not about our church. But I'm not saying it cannot happen in our church. It just means we have to tighten up. Having to come from churches that you see people as ushers. They serve as ushers. You see them on Monday. You're wondering, is this the same usher I saw in church? On Sunday, she's on long skates as an usher. Make sure you don't stumble into them. Don't go to ShopRite or any of these eateries in the evening, because if you meet them there, you will see the same usher that was smiling and welcoming you. That she's just a different person. There's something is wrong. If you cannot live differently from the world, you are not fit to serve in God's house. Now, I am not demanding that again and again. I'm not demanding sinless perfection. But I'm demanding a continuous steady progress, where you keep separating yourself and living differently from the world. You know, when I was a student, one of the things that really almost made me cry is to see that sometimes in the morning like this, we are doing morning evangelism. We come to class, we are shouting, "Jesus loves you." But those days in Israel, it was really very interesting. So that if you do not come on time, somebody is preaching already on the stage you want to preach on. But then after all of that, it's exam time. You find the same people that were fighting pulpits with you. They are now at the back. Setting formation. And if you live your life as an example as a student, stop that. That is not befitting for a minister of the gospel. It's not, sir. It is not. You must be different from others. It's not. Give me any excuse you want to give me. That's still nonsense. So I don't ask. I just copy. It's not the same thing. And the person that will still fail, we fail. You know, the painful thing is after you compromise and you fail. Huh? It's better you don't compromise and then you fail. Let's say, I stood for Jesus. This one you compromise, you still fail. What's the point? A Levite in God's house must live differently from others. And I thank God I own this thing I'm telling you with my full chest as a student. Ones that are not sitting by exam number in the hall, you see me sit in the front. Throughout my exam time, that's where I sit. And I was overdoing as a student. And I have no apologies. If I go back to school 10 times, I will overdo 10 times. Because there has to be... I thought people were not noticing those things. See, one day we were discussing, I say all these pastors, we did this class. Somebody said, didn't I was there? Somebody said, all those they pretend now. And they were talking, they were not saved men, unbelievers. They were talking. Some of them are pretending now. The only two pastors we know in this class. Guess the two that they called, myself and another person. Guess their standard for rating, exam and practice. They said, those ones that will keep asking us answers in the hall. So, me, I spoke up from where I was sitting. It was a big class. They didn't I was there. I said, so, and if they ask you, or if you ask them and they don't tell you, you get angry. So why are you now angry if you know it's wrong? They told me, well, if they want to be pastors, they should do it to the end. So if we ask them, they shouldn't tell us. They told me, you that we have been angry, that we touched you. Because, of course, you will not be liked. But what you don't know is that secretly you have been admired. I got what I'm saying. Secretly. I'm talking about exam now. I just remember that Brock Casey is here. He was in my class. I was always in front. You won't find me no other place. I didn't know him then. We're not talking there. But always in front. That's where you find me. Every exam, I'm sitting there. Except they say, sit by exam number. Because, come on now. If you are going, you must live differently from others. That's the same thing you carry into your workplace. That collecting bribe, you stretch your hand. Say, give me two. Your hand will seize. It will... anything that you are doing. So tomorrow I try to invite them to church. They don't understand why they should follow you to church. They don't understand. And that's why sometimes, listen to this. The message of the gospel does not need your life to validate it. That's the truth. However you live your life, the gospel is a part of our salvation. But listen, the message of the gospel needs your life for people to actually pay attention to it. Well, as the way you be living your life, people will not even pay attention to what you want to say. So, you must be separate. You must live your life differently from others. I get the point? So, the Levite, first of all, is separated from the rest of the people. From the rest of the people. So how they count the Israelites, they count them. They say the 11 tribes and the Levites. Because they are not the same with every other person. And they are separate, they are special. It's just that ministry of the Levites ended with the coming of Christ. It now led to what we call the priesthood of all believers. So all believers are now Levites. So I'm saying the one that wants to serve as a Levite in God's house, who wants to stand up to his priestly duties as God has given him, must separate himself from the rest of the people. Are you following me? So you don't talk like a brother person. There are people that if they're not in church, if you hear their conversation, you can vow they're not Christians. And yet on Sunday, you see them in church playing keyboard. Different churches. You see them ushering. Somebody was telling me one day that he's an usher. in a church? And I said, seriously? He said, yes. And he was saying that he was laughing. Because it was even funny to him that he's an usher. I'm not joking. Because there's nothing Christian about him. So I said, how did you join the church? He said, that church said that he went there because real life story. It did happen before, happened recently. I have no something. I said, he went there because of one girl. So he saw the girl, he liked the girl. And he started going there. And he became usher because the girl is an usher. That's why church systems must be strong. It's why we do what we do here. So that if you come in here, you want to do, be in the choir, of course, in the choir, you will do your classes first. But when you're done with the classes, we can move you to media. And you put in the media team and you serve for 3 months, and your life is not reflecting the life of a Levite, we remove you. Now, we're not removing you because we hate you. We remove you and put you under more training because your life has to reflect it. Now, are you saying that everybody that serves in this church, they live perfect lives? No. I'm saying everybody that serves in this church, at least they're at least conscious that they're ministers. At least conscious. At least trying to walk. Because there's some things people do, you just know that this is, they don't care how they live their lives. A minister is not someone that should say, I have a different life in church and a different life outside. That's not the minister of the gospel. That's not one. So this one is my church clothes. This other one is my wedding clothes. You know, somebody said if you really want to know your church girls, you know them when they're about to get married. Do you understand? The one he didn't add is, so he said when about to get married, and when they're doing final year, 4 years don't work. And then birthday. Birthday photo shoot is the height of it. Then I should be. See, that's the style they chose, and you must wear it. Amen. So, but if I don't wear it, I will no longer be part of that shebi. And what sport? Can't they give you, say, I can't wear this kind of thing. I really want to do that shebi for you, but see this, and I will not wear it. Because they just want to embarrass you. They wanted to sew the one that opened from here down. And then you saw it. And you wait. And if you see your pastor there, you are now so shy. My kind, I'll just keep my shirt face. If I'm in a good mood, if I'm not in a good mood, I will embarrass you. I'll be looking at you. That thing you want to hide, I'll be looking at you. How are you? You know why you're doing that? Because something in you is actually telling you this is wrong. You can't be like every other person. Let me tell you, normalize being different. Don't feel strange for being different. Normalize dressing differently. Normalize talking differently. I don't talk like that. I don't discuss such things. I don't do that. I normalize it. Why? I am not the same with all of you. And that's actually how I see it. Because I've said before in this church, every revered office, even in the secular world, demands a strict lifestyle. As a judge in Nigeria or a lawyer, there are things you can't do. There are places you can't. They have their code of conduct. I don't know whether they obey it. I'm just saying. Do they obey it? There are things you don't do. Yeah, I said they obey it. I believe. You say, why don't they? For instance, I heard a judge now. You are not allowed to go for parties. Right? Parties. And I think the reason they gave is so that you will not be compromised. Says, why will I have to do that? That's because you're a judge. Now, if secular offices will demand those kind of strict living, a believer is angry because we say they cannot go to club. That can't be a club. And what is there in the club? Play loud music. And shout. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Glory to God. And because, you know, we are trying to pity you because we know you like club, we now say, if we cannot go to club, let us bring the club to church, not this church. You will never go to club in your life. Not there, not in church. Because you should kill your appetite for such things. When you are married, get to your house, put loud music, turn on blue light, start dancing with your wife. If dance is your problem, or loud music, what again happens there? That many people are there. There is nothing. Let me tell you, this is to help you, and not just because I'm a pastor. Not some of you got born again as young people. And I learned this later. I got born again as a young person too. But I can tell you sincerely, there is nothing you are missing. I tell you. What do you think you are missing? There is nothing you are missing. You say, I wish I can just have a boyfriend now. You are not missing anything. Well, scratch that. You are missing some things. You are missing unwanted pregnancy. You are missing HIV. You are missing infection. You are missing being embarrassed in public. You are missing being treated like that. You are missing being a topic for conversation among guys. Because you think all those guys who sleep with you and not tell their friends. Say, that one, I don't finish them. You carry your Bible. I hope I don't finish that one. You carry your Bible. They don't finish Levites. Is it that Levites? I don't finish them. No, sir. You should be different. And I'm telling you for free. You should be different. He says, sir, what if I've done all of these things? Tabugbo. Start today is early. We are just. Sir, will they ever forget all the mistakes I made in the past? Well, they will. When you have a consistent lifestyle, with time, whatever will phase out. And if it doesn't phase out, whenever they remember, it no longer counts. That's why you shouldn't let the devil hold you down with guilt. I got what I'm saying? It will phase out. But then I'm saying you are you are different from others. Because you're a Levite. Say amen. So, when we come into your workplace, they should be able to know that. If it is that one, she will not agree. Do you have things like that they say they know you will not agree? If you have nothing like that, you're not actually living the life of a Christian. Take it from me. There should be things like, if it's that one, don't mention it. She will say no. Don't say that one. He will not agree. Are there things you don't agree with? Are there things we know that if it is for this one, you will not do it? Do you have standards? Do you have boundaries in your life? Do you have places you don't go? Do you have people you don't see? I get what I'm saying. You should have such things. And you will lose certain things because of it. And it's okay. That's the demand of the office. You saw that scripture we read. It said, the Levites are separate from the rest of the people. And you must live like that. Go read about the life of the Nazarites. The same thing. If God appoints anybody a Nazarite, how come Samson was that story? He was a Nazarite. That means they don't take alcohol. They don't do certain things. And you are not missing anything. You're not missing anything. Samson began to expose himself when, as a Nazarite, he began to not only fall in love, but he began to fall in love with the wrong. There are two women that he fell in love with in the Bible. Both of them were Philistines. Both of them. And somehow, just had, and that brings me to the next thing. Because you are different from the rest of the people, it means you cannot mingle anyhow with the people. You can't mingle carelessly. You can't have anybody as your friend. You can't have anybody as a wife. You can't have anybody as a girlfriend. You can't have just anybody because you are a Levite. They are different from the rest of the people. So Samson's undoing was, the guy was a Nazarite, but the first person he fell in love with, a Philistine. The second person, Delilah, a Philistine. There was something in him that always pushes, and that's why I want to tell you this. If you notice any unhealthy appetite inside of you, please face it and cut it off. Samson had an appetite for strange women. There was nobody in the whole Israel that he fell in love with. Not once in his life. Everyone he ever loved we are all Philistines. You see what the problem is? You think, but that's just me. That's not just you. That is the devil shaking your calabash. Everybody says, I don't like church boys. I don't know whether it's just me, but I've never been attracted to church boys. It's just you. He said, it's just you. Don't say, I don't know whether it's just me. Yes. He said, but for some reason, all those things they are giving are just rubbish. The devil has set a trap for you to make sure you collapse in life and destiny. That's what happened to Samson. So, you know, there is a narrative that actually says it was the Philistines that sent Delilah to Samson to fall in love with him. They knew what to do. I get what I'm saying. Go, if you pass his way, he will fall in love with you. He slept with prostitutes. Not even Israel, of course, there's no difference between that, but not even Israelites that are prostitutes. In fact, he slept with prostitutes that were Philistines. Everything he ever did with a woman, all of them were Philistines. And if you find out you have that kind of appetite, you're always attracted to a church boy, but you like girls that are hot, in quotes. Help yourself. That's an unhealthy appetite. Because whether you date them, or you court them, or you eventually marry them, you are still wrong. And the result will show. Because that will stop you from fulfilling your priestly responsibility. A Levite is not the same with others. He is separate from others. It means he cannot mingle with just anybody. Anybody can just be your friend. Anybody can just be your friend. I say it all the time in this church. Anybody can just be your friend. You can't just make careless friends. That we are roommates doesn't mean we should be friends. That we are workmates doesn't make us friends. Because being workmates does not mean that our values now align. That is a whole lot. That is a whole lot. The Levite must always think differently from others. I know nobody that is addicted to India hemp who does not have a friend who smokes India hemp. Nobody. Nobody. Once you smoke Igbo, if you don't know what that happens, once you smoke Igbo, it's because you have at least one friend. At least one. I know no girl who is doing hookup who does not have at least one friend into hookup. If you know any, show me. There is nobody like that. Because you cannot be a hookupian in isolation. My God. You can't be what? A hookupian in isolation. You need friends that will partner with you in this hookupism. But actually, that's true. You cannot be a smoker in isolation. There is nobody. That same way, you cannot be a Levite, a minister in God's house, and you don't have anybody doing ministry to as a very close part. You are not doing well. You will not do well. You will fail. You will fail. Because this is not like profession. You can be a doctor, a medical doctor, and not have any medical doctor as a friend. Well, if you so wish. But this is life. I get what I'm saying. This is life. Amen. You know, most of us talk about indecent dressing. One major reason why it is difficult for ladies to stop dressing indecently, one major reason is because all their friends dress that way. And for real, it's not easy for all your friends to be dressing a certain way and you are with them and you are dressed differently. It's actually hard. I get the point. I give it sincerely. It is. Have you noticed if you guys have five friends, not even have any sense. If you guys have five friends and you guys want to go for an event, and all of them come out wearing senator and you're wearing suit. It's not like you've sinned, but you're going to feel different. Ah, what's up? Or maybe all of them are wearing jean and polo and then you came out on suit. You will feel a bit... So, that's the point. So, this girl comes out wearing her long skirt or her gown, properly dressed, but then all her friends that came out to step out with her, all of them are on their bone shirt and their this. No matter how she's trying to claim, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting me. I'm even warning them to change from their ways. It's affecting her. If she keeps that company, it's a matter of time, the skirt will keep coming up small, small. From here to here. From here to here. Till it gets to where the Lord has ordained it to get. Now, I'm saying this, you know, as a student, I went through school. I know people say there are temptations in high school, but let me say this to you. There were some temptations I never faced in school. Not once. I was never tempted to drink. I was never tempted to smoke. I was never tempted to join cults. Never. Like, it's not like I overcame. There was no temptation. How can you tempt me? It's not when we are close that you can tempt me. Some of you are giving you both to smoke and saying, no, no, no. The problem, you cannot resist for long. Stop flowing with that company. If not, very soon, we might come and meet you in the Zoma's office. If you know what that means. Amen. But if you don't understand what that means, let me explain it to you. Ozoma is a nurse that attends to mental cases. That's what I actually mean. Very simple. Because actually, that's how it starts. Oh, this, no, I won't take. I trust myself. Then people should change. I keep telling people to change. Stop smoking this thing you are smoking. I'm telling you, like, the way I was raised, nobody is that strong. I've told you, nobody is stronger than any influence you've given access. You are not stronger than any influence you've given access. Any influence. Any influence. What I mean is, you can be an arm dropper tomorrow. Is in you. Just get 5 arm dropper friends. Flow with them for 3 years. One day, Sakpa go hold you. And they will just tell you, we will not shoot anybody. We don't normally kill people. We just go and come back. And before you know, you shock yourself in some amazing ways. Have you ever done some things in life and you're wondering, was it me that did this thing? It was influence, sir. It was influence. It was influence. That's why some of you that are here, one of the things I'm going to say to you, once you gain admission into school, some of you are yet to gain admission, the first thing to do, I don't know why God is talking, is going this, I've not even gone half of my notes, but the first thing to do when you get admission into school is to locate a church family and join them, and eventually build your friends from there. That is safety number one in school. Leave all those ones your parents are telling you, don't join bad friends, so read your book, all that talk. All of them in school now that are doing all this hookup, got those same counsels, and they made up their mind the same way you made up your mind before you came. Your younger ones are entering school. Once they get into school, there is a PG church there. Force them. If there is none, let them locate the fellowship. Force them. You know, what I've found that when I'm dealing with young, some of you, some young people, I've found that don't always tell teenagers to just do what you want to do. People don't know. The Bible said foolishness dwells in the heart of a child. I don't let people do what they want to do. Force them. Now, when they identify with a good place and now choose friends from there, trust me, you've done your job 50%. I'm not joking. 50%. But once they choose the wrong friends, it's a matter of time. And that's why I can tell parents that keep fighting, don't choose those kind of friends. Let me tell you why people keep choosing the kind of friends they choose. It is where they go to that they make friends from. So if you don't always go to church, you cannot make friends from church. If you always go to club, with time you're going to make a friend from the club. You get the point. If you always go to class, you make friends from the class. The problem with class is that when you go to class all the time, there are different people from class that are in the class. Muslims, Buddhists, and all of that. I'm not saying anybody you meet in church is perfect. No. But I'm saying it's a good place to find your friends. Because if you expose yourself and get into the wrong company, you are already playing with your Levitical office. Not everybody can be your friend. Not everybody can be your wife. And I've not said so much about relationships since I started this program. And I think it's a good day to talk to see it before we close. Sister, you can't marry every brother. You just can't. Let nothing make you feel. We've said this many times. Let me say it again. Let nothing make you feel that you can change anybody. You are not the Holy Spirit. You've not even changed yourself. Let me even tell you, even that Holy Spirit, as powerful as he is, cannot change anybody except the person cooperates with the Holy Spirit. Now, what makes you think that what the Holy Spirit cannot do that you will do? He says, well, he will cooperate. Do you know? How are you sure he's going to cooperate? Someone is not saved and you are defending his salvation. Let me tell you how to know someone is not saved. I know you say, oh, how to know someone is saved? He has believed the gospel. It's okay. Let me teach you how to know somebody is saved. To be saved in your relationship. If someone is saved, he'll be going to church. Anybody that says I'm saved doesn't go to church. Let me say this to you. You are not the Holy Spirit. You don't see people's hearts. So how will I know you are saved? Say, but sir, when I preached, he said he believed. How are you sure he really believed? How are you sure he didn't just answer you so that you can be happy? How do we confirm someone's salvation? I don't know. Jesus tells us how. He said, by their fruits. So, you're not going to church. I don't count you born again. Two, I want to know whether you pray in tongues. At least I know that one. An unbeliever cannot do that one. I agree what I'm saying. I want to know whether in that church you are going to, whether you are committed there. Because every serious Christian should be committed to a church. Somebody is born again. Just that he's not the church type. He is not the marriage type. That's what it means. If he's not the church type, he's not the marriage type. So that you don't get angry tomorrow and say, I've been in this church for the past 7 years, yet when it was time for me to get married, pastor didn't support my marriage. I will not support it. Now, I will not stop the marriage, but I won't support it. I will make my stance very clear, but you can go ahead. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where I stand. That's how I live my life. Don't go there. Sir, I really want to go. You can go. But at least you heard when I said, don't go. Because this is how ministries are truncated. Assignments are truncated because of relationships. Love. That is not even love. That's not even love. So be sure somebody is born again. I believe he's not born again. He says, but it's by believing. You are not in his heart. I know what I'm saying. How are you sure he believed or not? We can never know. So I want to see that there are fruits. So, in Aga Church, sir, what are you doing in that church you are going to? How often do you go there? Once every week? Once every month? 2 times in a year? Crossover service? When do you go to church? Does your pastor know you? Do the leaders know you? If you ask that you want to speak with any of the leaders, will they say they know you? If you ask for your pastor's number, will your pastor say, oh, that's my beloved son? He said, I don't do all those pastor things. You don't do marriage things with me. You get the point? You know, we're talking about the house of God. And it's a good time to tell you. It is says, so everybody that is born again must go to church. That's actually what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. So I saw a post today. I wanted to share that post because it was really very funny to me. The guy said, it might not make you laugh, but it was funny to me because I know this is actually trending in our generation. There is not Adullam Cave. That is not the local church. You heard of Adullam? So I'm going to Adullam, the making place, the quarry site. We are it's church that is Adullam. Adullam, secret place. In all those terms, there is no Adullam that is not church. This is Adullam. Because again, what is the idea of Adullam Cave? David was in that cave. Men that were weak, men that were tired, gathered to him at Adullam, and he became their captain. And after they became mighty men. So Adullam was not a place people went to meet God, and God made them by himself. Adullam was a place where God used a man called David to make men. That place is the local church, sir. So you are not a church person, but you are in the secret place. Come out from there. Come to the open. Come out from the secret place, sir. I want to be... sir, I don't like... Sir. Are you in the secret court? Come to the open. Here, all of us are seeing you. Because not the problem. Most people that say, I'm not really a church person, they are afraid of one word, accountability. They are afraid of people asking them, why are you doing that? For all you care, sister, please listen to me. That brother telling you he's in a secret place might have spoken to 5 or 6 sisters that is in a secret place. You know why he can do that? Nobody's holding him accountable. Someone came to marry somebody under me. And I said, ask him his church. He says, he's not really a church person. The guy started talking. You know what this guy was saying with his two mouths? This guy was telling this sister that in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, that Adam saw Eve, real life story, and said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and took her unto himself and began to have sex with her. That marriage is just when you see someone and agree that you are bone of his bone. Real life story. So all this they do in church, we are going back to the book of Genesis, the original plan. When you see someone, and I ask the sister, ask him how many that he has told the same thing he's telling you. It's no accountability. And they can make up doctrines that will suit that nonsense. I didn't even see him with my two eyes. I said, I don't want to see him. If you want to marry, God, I don't want to see him. That guy may not be born again for all you care. Because again, who is there to testify that you are born again? How do you even know you are born again? Someone has to be there. That's one of the things the church offers us. So you can't make friends carelessly. Please, I'm not saying all your friends will come from this church, but please make sure your friends have a church they go to. And I'm talking about the proper church, because in that comment session where this guy wrote this Adulam thing, people are saying, what if your church is not helping you grow spiritually? If your church is not helping you grow spiritually, change your church. And come out from Adulam and go to a proper church where you'll be growing. Because all this Adulam thing, it really makes me. I believe in the whole Adulam cave story, but we've turned it to many things. You see, that is Adulam. That's where God makes men. That is wilderness. It's in the wilderness, in the place of isolation, when you are alone with Jehovah, communing. God doesn't make his generals in isolation. Go and read your Bible. Doesn't make generals in isolation. They are made, even in the army, generals are not made in isolation. Yes, you're going to have a personal walk with God, your personal prayer time, your personal study time, but come on, only you. God is making only you. So I wonder if Elijah. Elijah came out from nowhere. The Bible didn't just tell us about where Elijah came from. Nobody comes from nowhere. Somebody makes somebody. Did I not show you all those other prophets that worked in the Old Testament? All of them had school of the prophets. That was in Jeremiah, I was showing you that, right? Isaiah had school of the prophets, Jeremiah, Elijah. All of them. Elijah had people he called sons of the prophet that he was raising. Elisha was part of them. He was just the one that took over the job from Elijah to continue raising that sons of the prophets. Second Kings chapter 6 was when they went to, they said, the place where we are using is now small for us. Let's build a larger place. So the place that we're using for that school was even too small. They went to cut more wood to make a bigger place. Prophets are trained in churches. I get what I'm saying. Prophets are trained in churches. They're not trained in their home or in the wilderness. Come back home. Leave the wilderness. Come to the house. God is running a family. Members of the family are not trained in the wilderness. They are trained in family. You see what I'm talking about here? So this should be your Adulam cave. Say amen. Not should be. This is the Adulam cave. You know, our generation, we just like words that sound interesting. Adulam. What do you even know is Adulam? What's the meaning of the word Adulam? Do you even know the meaning of that word? Just that it sounds interesting. He said, if you want to be made, visit the secret place. Where is that? The secret place of the Most High is in Christ. Where is the secret place of the Most High? Under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is that? In Christ Jesus. It's awful I'm talking about. You're already in a secret place now. Don't visit it. Stay there. Live there. But God gathered all of us in a secret place and put us in church so that we can be made. So the men that came to David in Adulam, they came to him and he made them. That's why they stayed loyal to that assignment to him until he ended his ministry. Because he made them. He made them. I'm saying this because I'm talking about relationships now. Let nobody say to you, I'm a believer, but I don't do all these church things. So where are you? Say, I'm in Adulam. I'm in the secret place. You tell the person, I don't marry secret people. Because I need believers to be able to tell me that you are born again. And don't give me your friends. Your friends will say anything you want them to say. Who do you answer to? And I'm not talking about somebody on Facebook. Say, my spiritual father, I answer to him. He's in Kaduna. He's not seeing how you are living your life. I guess what I'm saying now. He's your pastor, but he's in Kaduna. Whether you are cheating the exam or he doesn't know. Whether you used to go naked on the street, he doesn't know. Whether you have 15 girls in your life, just that you saw him once and you managed to take a picture with him. You now posted it. He said, fathers are feathers. I know all those things. Now they met once. Fathers are feathers. You ride on their wings and you fly. We want to know you, your roots. Are you learning what I'm saying? So you don't want to marry from this church. It's okay. I'm just telling you. Make sure that person, that we can trace him to somewhere. We can trace him to somewhere. So that you guys, if you want to make friends from anywhere, make sure the person has somewhere we can trace him to. Not the church he visits, but somewhere he's part of. Have you at least done foundation school in that church? Do they know you? Or that when they have special program and Sinach is coming and you go and say, I'm not, there are people that you go to preach to. I mean, in this Enugu, you go to preach to them and tell them, do you have a church? They say, yes. What's the name? Platform of Grace. Some of them, you never seen them in this church. They've come once or twice. Who has ever met anybody like that? Real life story. I ask them, Platform of Grace? Yes, sir. Do you know me? No. What's the name of your pastor? I don't know, but that's my church. Because he came there once. And imagine someone, one careless sister meets that brother. Say, my church is talking about this. Oh, that's a very nice, it's a sound church. That's why I told you guys, I have my ways of doing my things. You want to come and marry my son or marry my daughter? There is no way, if you're not from our church, that I will not talk to your pastor if I approve it. I will talk to your pastor. That's me. I have a conversation, at least a quality one. Tell me about that brother on Abioka. I'm telling you. I ask, what is the father? And I don't know pastors that can be anything today. I ask the question, how long has he been there, sir, in your church? Sir, sorry, when did he get born again? Sir, what is his department in church? He said, I ask all those questions. I want to know what he is. How long has he been with you? Has he been loyal to you? For how long? Is he just someone that is just running up and down? That just came to hide under you so that he can get married? And every pastor I've ever had this conversation with, each of them, there's a way they respect our church family, because one of them told me, this virtue is rare. I say, yes, we are rare. Because I've seen it. Him and I told the guys, now things, they cost things. Things, if things do you, you will do things. Because I've seen things, we just get, I'm a believer. And they just give them, and after some time, they say, amen. God will help us. We are getting better. So I'm saying, and I'm closing now, you must see yourself as different, right? Different. I have many things to say today, but it's okay. Let's end there. Say, I'm different. From the world. From the rest of the people. Say, God has made me different. I live differently. I think differently. I conduct myself differently. Let's read the scripture as we're all standing. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. I quoted it. Let's read it together like a mass choir. Then we close. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let me hear your voice. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion had light with darkness? And what concord had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So come out from among them, and be ye separate. Amen. So be different. It feels so good to be different from the rest of the world. And I have no apology to anyone for being different. I'm different. And I make it show in everything I do. Every step I take. The way I think. The way I decide things. You may not like it. You may call it whatever. But I'd like to try to see I am different. I don't talk like this. I don't pick quarrels carelessly. I am different. I don't gist people carelessly. I'm different. I don't dress carelessly. I'm different. I may not think the way you think. I am different. And I was telling you guys a few minutes ago that the temptation I didn't face in school. For instance, I was never tempted as a student to sort any course. Never in my life. Not once. You know the truth. I don't even know when they used to sort the courses. I don't even know who to meet to sort a course. Because I don't even have those kind of friends. I only knew about it once. That was my third year. And they were telling me, I said, this is what people are doing. I said, Because then they had the way of even going to, they would pay the lecturer, real life story, they would give them their scripts and they would rewrite. And they were telling me, I said, now why are you? He said, I know you will not do. I said, thank God you know. And I told him, I will pass. He says, because you're intelligent. I said, who told you I wrote well? It's not about writing well or not writing well. It's about being different. And I want to tell someone before I close today. I've said it before. Normalize being different. See nothing wrong with being different. While I know it can be hard to be different, then that's why I talked about having friends. When you have friends where you guys' values match, at least you're not the only one standing. There are 3, 4, 5 of you standing differently. That way you get the encouragement to stay different. I get what I'm saying. Normalize being different. Even your workplace, work normalize. Let me teach you. Normalize saying it's against my faith. When last did you say that? Have you ever said that? This is against my faith. And I have no apologies. Say, we are going for this event. I'm not going. Say, why? It's against my faith. Say, I have nothing wrong with it. I don't even feel bad. You know, where I am now, you can never make me feel bad for being a Christian. I've gone past that level. Is that making me feel bad for my convictions? I've gone past that. It's a long time ago. What? You know why? I'm a pastor. So I've seen people that are like you. Because you know one thing I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. Most people that are living in the world and do whatever are pretending. Many of them are in pain. They are depressed. You see someone doing that, you say, Yahoo boy, we they spend money, we they borrow money, all those things. It's underneath those things, you will see depression. So how do you know? I talk with them. How many Yahoo boys do you know that don't do drugs? Why are they doing drugs? Huh? There are many things. I've seen many things though. Because that's why I say, don't envy the world. Don't envy sinners. Whatever they are offering, they are forming excitement. It's not there. It's not there. Some of them, in the night, they cry. In the night, some of them sneak into this office. So, sir, please pray for me. You get the point? Sometimes you open my mails different from different places. Because there is this hidden pain, this hidden dissatisfaction that is there. And that's what Christ actually offers you. Don't envy the world. Be different. And be okay with being different. Where did they used to say that people used to marry as virgins? I beg. In 2024, yes. Even in 2038. And there is nothing wrong with being your age and your virgin. Boy or girl, nothing is wrong with that. And if you've lost yours, it's okay. You can begin to live the Christian life from today and begin to be different. But there's nothing wrong with that. And let nobody ever make you feel like, okay, you know, you know these days, like when we were younger, when you say you've lost your virginity, people pity you and laugh at you. Now, if you say you're a virgin, they start laughing at you. This one. Hey! You know. Let nobody make you feel bad for such things. There is nothing wrong with being different. Once you're standing with the Lord. You get the point? I've decided if I enter this relationship that I'm not going to indulge in sexual immorality till I get married. Let nobody tell you. How will you now know if he's this? How will you now know? You see, I'm foolish. How will your father know that your mother was okay before they married? Let nobody make you feel different. It's okay to be different. Is someone following I'm talking about this evening? It's totally okay. I wanted to brush over this point, but the Lord said I should just stay here. It's okay to be different. If you've made mistakes, it's okay to start being different from today. From today. It's okay. Amen. All these labels they put on genders, don't take it. All men cheat. Men are polygamous. That's not true. It's okay to be different. You get the point? All men are polygamous. It's actually not true. I can even tell you, women are polyandrous. But it comes down to your choice. You can choose to be different. In this generation, if you're married, once your husband does not have money, if you marry a wife that does not have money, they will cheat. That's a label the world is trying to put on you. Throw it off. That's not you. You stay with your husband through thick and thin. When he has money, we'll eat. When he doesn't have money, we pray and believe God. That is who you are in Christ. So don't take the labels. I am different from the rest. I am. I'm not the type of lady that you get married to and then your money finishes and I run away. Because why will I run away? I carry the favor of God. I know how to work the faith of God. Because I'm in your life, things work. So we don't run to anywhere. We stay. In fact, it is for the bad times that I came. So that I can change it to the good times. Now, don't accept the labels. It's okay that we are different. So we're about to give you a job. Before you get this job, you must do this. It's okay to say I don't do such things. Be saying it all the time. Normalize telling yourself I am different. I don't act like the rest of the world. I don't think like them. I don't think like them. You know, finally I want to say, we might look like them. But we're not like them. We're not them. Look like them, I mean we can dress well. I'm not saying the Christian should be looking very shabby. You should look good. You should look however you want to look. But we are still not them. We're still not them. And you know what you don't realize? The respect, the value they have for you, for standing where you stand, they will never tell you. I get what I'm saying. They will never tell you. They are just trying to claim, all of us are the same thing. I beg you, do the overdo. It's hidden in their hearts. The value they have for you, for being who you are, they won't tell you. So there's one of you, when they are talking to others, that you hear them. They respect you. But it doesn't even matter whether they respect you or not, it doesn't come. I'm just telling you, they do. They see that you are different. And the thing is, they wish they can be like you. And when they can't be like you, they begin to mock you and taunt you. You know why? So that you can become like them. That all of you be. You know, people like equalizers. They like something that will make all of us the same thing. So when they try to be like you and it's hard, they begin to insult you and mock you so that you can now switch to become like them. That all of us can be the same thing. Young men, you are not a Yahoo boy. Say amen. And you will not do Yahoo. You will make money, genuine money. So when they say, I beg anybody to chop money for generation, you say, excuse me. I'm an exception. I eat clean money. Yeah. I believe it with all my heart. You get the point? And I want to be able to look around and talk to some Yahoo boys, and I tell them, look at this guy that in my church. These are my sons here. They are rich. They count in millions and billions, but I can tell you they didn't soil their hands. So if go meet them, they will help you. I want to be able to do that. That's why you guys have to be very rich. Do you understand? So there is nothing, you can be different because God made us different. We serve in His house, we are not like others. Let people not come and meet us serving here on Sunday. We are doing ushering, we are cleaning the church, we are opening and closing doors, and they see us on Monday and we are ashamed to meet them. We are ashamed to look at them. Imagine the person you are doing hookup. I'm going this too far with this hookup thing, you know. And the person you ushered in on Sunday, in the evening you are going for a job, and that's your customer. You say, Sister Adrenaline. You remember that girl? I say, brother, is he you? No. We are different. The same life we live in church, that same life we live out there. No confusion. Are you blessed today? Lift your hands. Let's give Jesus praise. What a friend you have been. So good to me,
so good to me. Lord, I can't believe how you love me. What a friend you have made.
So good to me, sing it again, come on. I call you faithful from the top.
I call you faithful.
We'll do that and we close. And every need you've met.
And every need you've met. Lord, I'm so grateful.
Remember, yes, this teaching. So sing from your heart all over this place.
You are weeping every step, and I never will forget. When I think of how you blessed me, how you never, never let me go, never let me go. You have been so good.
Call you Savior all over this place.
I call you Savior.
Do you want to sing now?
For the blood washed me clean, for the wrongs that you redeemed. I know you're able, and my eyes don't have to see. One more reason to believe. When I think of how you blessed me, how you handed me.
mighty works I've gazed upon your mind.
You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your very love is more than life is.
I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty works. And it's upon your mind. You can do more than my mind can comprehend.
Everything that you've ordained for us to be. As many that need to make adjustments, we know that by these teachings, the impartations to walk in them has come. And we are going to live better, we are going to live stronger, and be all that you've ordained us to be. Thank you for your manifold grace. Thank you, first of all, for the love and the trust to make us your able ministers. And we will know you've empowered us to live the kind of lives that will help us get to the best and to the full use of our calling, even in you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let us go by for now. We'll return here by 10 a.m. Okay?